Okay, and if you have your Bible with you, we're going to need it quite a lot. So I'm just telling you in advance, we will be looking into God's Word together. I don't think this is going to fit up here, Kathy. I'm going to just take it out. Need more room. Okay. Well, sometimes we get telephone calls. We get news. We get, information that comes to us that a tragedy has happened, a divorce has happened, someone has died, someone has made a bad decision or whatever. And I want to say today that God fixes some of those. He can heal those. But sometimes it's too late. And sometimes it's too late to fix things. I know that one. Sometimes you get a phone call and you just have this feeling, I wonder what was going on. I wish we had known what was going on. I wish that people had ears that were open to the wisdom of God. And sometimes it's too late for wisdom. It really is. Sometimes the horse has been let out of the barn and it's too late. And when we're going to talk this morning about seeking wisdom. And I'm not talking about seeking knowledge. There's a really big difference between knowing a lot of stuff. And I think knowledge is important. Seminary was so critical for me. I thought when I got out of seminary, I am going to know it all. And I can go into a church and be a pastor and people will ask me questions and I'll have this library in my brain and I'll just be able to rattle off all kinds of information and I'll be really, I'll know a lot. Well, that's not what seminary taught me. And frankly, you can say I went to college, I had a degree, I did really well in college, and sometimes college makes you a smarter sinner. Makes you smarter, but sometimes it just makes you a smarter sinner. So today we're going to be talking about wisdom, about what it is and what the Bible has to say about it. I've preached on this before. I preached all the way through the book of Proverbs, at least topically, a long time ago. It's been a long time. But it's been brought to my heart and my attention recently, and so we're going to kind of walk through this a little bit together. I don't know if I'm going to get to, we'll see if we can get it up on the screen. I have a PowerPoint here. Yeah. The only problem is I can't see it here. Why? There it was. I know. Preachers. I think out the. You don't have to look at the screen up here to know what I'm going to say today. Okay, so now that we're really distracted here, I hope you'll just kind of glean what God has to say for us. This is so critical. This is really at the heart of our walk with the Lord and what he needs to teach us. We've been learning a little bit about through Pastor D. Duke down in Oregon, and he talks a lot about seeking wisdom. He gave us a couple of stories. One was that he, a long time ago, when Dr. Joe Aldrich was the president of Multnomah, he called up Dr. Joe one day. And Dr. Joe had been in a church in California. It, at the time, was one of the five fastest growing churches in America. And when he left Mariners Church, he came to Multnomah, and Dee asked if he could come up and have lunch with him. And he said, sure. So he went up on a Saturday, and he just had a tablet full of questions, and he asked him, you know, just gleaned wisdom from Dr. Joe, and just, you know, basically got through a few of the questions. And then when they were done, he says, well, would it ever be on your schedule that I could come back and do this again? And he says, sure, you can do it next Saturday again. And he says, well, I just thought you were so busy, you'd have people knocking on your door all the time. And Dr. Joe said, you're the only one who has ever called me and asked, picked my brain, sought the wisdom that I have learned from so many other people. And so he would go up there and meet all the time with Dr. Joe. He also talks about a connection with Dr. Congdon at Multnomah, who had 12 kids. And so he would ask Dr. Congdon if he could come up and his wife and him have 15 minutes of his time. And he says, yeah, you can have 15 minutes of my time as long as you take my class on Romans. So he taught the book of Romans, which was a good class. And then he would always give Dia 15 minutes of his time in the area of parenting. And so, you know, and then one more story was that he grew up on a dairy, and in the dairy business, dairies are rated. So they're rated for, I'm the top dairy, the second place dairy, the third place in milk production. And so he would always get a list of, you know, the top dairies in the county. He was in Trout Lake, Washington. And so his dad taught him how to glean from other people and to learn from other people. And so his dad would say, okay, well, let's look at this list. That dairy over there is the top dairy in our county. Let's go over and visit them. And so they would be riding in the truck together. And on the way over, his dad would say, okay, what are we going to ask when we get there? And so he would write down, you know, some questions like, well, what about, you know, using antibiotics and what or not and all this stuff. And his dad would say, that's a great question. Write that down. And then he would write down another one and another one. And then when he got to the dairy, they would tour the dairy and ask those questions. And they would write down a list of things that they learned from other dairymen that were doing really, really well. And so then on the way home, he would say something like, well, that's a lot of things to change, a lot of things to do, but what's one thing that we can change in our dairy to make it more productive and to improve? And so they would choose one thing, because sometimes it meant growing other crops, and they were kind of big answers to the question, but still, I think Dee learned it from his dad about learning and about growing and about the humility of asking other people for advice. So we're going to talk a little bit about wisdom today.
Solomon said, Solomon was the one who asked the Lord for wisdom, and Solomon said that that wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I'm sorry, speaking of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon also said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Solomon also said that the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Solomon said that the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Solomon says it imparts strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Solomon says that the fear of the Lord keeps us from sin. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the pathway to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Sometimes I wonder if the struggles that people are going through are because they have never been taught, they've never been close to the wisdom of God. Because there's a promise here that the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. How's your sleeping going? Not right now. Sorry. Solomon says that the fear of the Lord, its rewards include wealth and honor and life. Riches and honor and life. So the word fear, the fear of the Lord, the word fear doesn't mean being afraid of God. Fear of the Lord doesn't mean being afraid of God. Rather, it means having an attitude of honor and trust that cause a person to esteem and obey God. It means that we give God weight and consider him worthy of respect and deference. If a person fears the Lord, he recognizes who God is and responds correctly to his greatness. So what is the fear of the Lord, guys? Those of you that have memorized it. Jerry? Yeah, but what have we memorized? The fear of the Lord is, yeah, but this is not the scripture. This is what we've been memorizing on Wednesday. You'll know it if I'm going to have you all memorize this right now. So be awake, okay? You're going to have to do a little memory work here, but the fear of the Lord is knowing that God sees everything I do, hears everything I say, knows everything I think, rewards right behavior, and disciplines wrong behavior. Okay? So, anybody want to try that one out? The fear of the Lord is knowing that God sees everything I do, hears everything I say, knows everything I think, rewards right behavior, and disciplines wrong behavior. That's the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is knowing that God, one, sees everything that I do, hears everything that I say, and knows everything that I think. And he rewards right behavior and disciplines wrong behavior. So you got 2 minutes to practice that with somebody. Okay, go ahead.
And then there'll be a test. The fear of the Lord is knowing that God sees everything that I do, hears everything that I say, knows everything that I think. Somebody's going to say this out loud before we move on. So. So if somebody wants to do it out loud, stand up and go ahead. Anybody. Male, female, young, old, doesn't matter. Come on. Huh? Okay.
The fear of the Lord means that God sees everything you do, hears everything you say, knows everything you think, and rewards right behavior and disciplines wrong behavior.
Okay, you want to do it too?
Dennis is a perfectionist, so in a good way. Okay, well, keep working on that. So what is wisdom? It's the Hebrew word is chokmah, and chokmah, the Hebrew word for wisdom, often refers to the mental and physical skills of craftsmen, a builder, silversmith in the Old Testament would be considered wise, have wisdom, or be skilled at certain things. Sailors can be wise sailors, counselors can be wise counselors, and so on. But other times, as in Proverbs, it focuses on the application of moral and ethical principles to the living of life, so that one might be said to live skillfully as compared to a sailor who might sail skillfully, or a metal worker who might craft metal skillfully. A person with wisdom has expertise in living in a way that makes life go as well as possible for him. The ability to live this way depends on a person's fearing the Lord. When a person tries to be wise in his own abilities, the best wisdom he can produce is earthly and unspiritual, of the devil. And there's a verse in the book of James, isn't there, that says that there's a kind of wisdom that we have, that people have, that humans have. It's an earthly kind of wisdom. Sometimes you'll find it in magazines. Sometimes you'll find it on Facebook. You'll find it on the social media. You'll have man's wisdom, earthly wisdom. James 3:15 says, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly and natural and demonic. Isn't that something? There is a wisdom that comes from the earth, from people, and from the spirit world, but the wisdom that God gives is from above. When Christians draw on their own wisdom rather than the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord, the best wisdom they are able to produce is the same as the world is capable of producing, which is earthly. This form of wisdom often does not take into account spiritual principles such as turning the other cheek and doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. Paul writes of Christians who have been trapped by the devil to do his will because they do not have a knowledge of the truth. That's where I really struggle. How do we, you know, sometimes people naturally, and you can, I can think back in my life and I can wish that I had wisdom when I was younger. You ever think about that? I wish life had been different. I wish someone had told me. I wish someone had warned me. That, you know, all of us can say that. I can say that. I wish my parents had taught me some certain things that just never got talked about. That's, people can become trapped by the devil to do his will because they do not have a knowledge of the truth because they have not, in many cases, they have not repented. Christians who have not repented are not in a position of gaining more knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26 says, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Repentance leads to the knowledge of the truth. So we have to, there needs to be repentance, a change of mind, a change of heart in order for us to gain the knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. The great verse. So Paul was talking about to Timothy a ministry of correction to those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And sometimes sometimes it is too late. Sometimes a person can be resistant to the truth. Their ears are plugged. Their ears are not open to the wisdom of God. And so, they can live their whole life without really listening to God, going through motions, sort of appeasing people, but not necessarily really listening to God. And that's really a scary thing to me. So we're going to get here. I'm just going to share these really quickly. When we go through this on the leadership class, we're going to be looking at them in a lot more detail. But I just want to list a few things about wisdom. When we are wise, we will know what to do and say in every circumstance or situation. Wisdom is being able to know what to say and know what to do in different circumstances of life. That's really a big deal. I think that's one thing that we're learning the daily commitments is, God, I need your wisdom. I'm not wise in myself. I need your wisdom to help me know what to say to people, what to say to my children, what to say to the people around me, and what to do and what not to do. And we will all make mistakes at that. But number two, wisdom will keep us from sin because we will understand the consequences of that sin. We cannot sin without the consequences that come with sin. It just doesn't happen. Wisdom will keep us from the sin that carries consequences with it. Number three, wisdom will bring great confidence. Wisdom will bring great confidence, security, and peace, and freedom from worry and fear. Boy, those are pretty big deals. Number four, as we grow in wisdom, we will accomplish more and more significant things. We will become successful in God's eyes. Number five, wisdom will bring financial security and prosperity into our life. I'm not saying we're not prosperity preachers here, but God does have wisdom for how we handle finances, right? And when we do, God's ways bring blessing. And doesn't make us millionaires. That's not the promise here. But it will bring financial security and prosperity into our life so that we can meet our own needs, help many others in their need, and help the work of God financially. Number six, a tremendous sense of joy comes into the heart of the person with wisdom. Number seven, those with wisdom become powerful influences of other people. Number eight, want wisdom. Want more and more. Never be satisfied. Number nine, pay attention. Listen. Listen. I think that's my biggest struggle in my life. Not my biggest, but one of them. It's just to shut up and listen. You know? And not be so quick to open my mouth and say what I know, but listening and paying attention so that I can learn and grow. Number 10, don't be a know-it-all. That's where wisdom comes to the humble. Number 11, seek counsel from wise people. Seek counsel from wise people who have been down the road before you. Number 12, be diligent to get as much instruction and teaching as possible. Number 13, learn from failures and problems. And number 14, put into practice what you learn. So now you can open your Bible, okay? I don't know what version you have. Some of you have the beautiful King James. Others have different versions. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. But I just want to let the Word of God speak to you as we read it together, okay? And these words are not unique to me, but the first thing is a suggestion is that we would read the book of Proverbs regularly. We read it regularly. I'm reading the Bible regularly, but I think reading the book of Proverbs regularly is a big deal. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. So the Proverbs are to help us receive instruction, to give prudence to the naive. We grow up naive. We need prudence. We need instruction. We need training. We need warning. We need rebuke sometimes. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. It's not that old people don't need knowledge and discretion, but I think that there's just a process of learning that when you're young, you need it if you've never heard it before. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom. Wisdom and instruction. These are not my words. They actually come from Chuck Swindoll, and he said that the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. a natural fit into each month. It includes descriptions of over 180 different types of people. There is no mumbo jumbo, no Rubik's Cube theology to unscramble, no weird abstract theories to unravel, only straight talk for all of us who live imperfect lives on planet Earth. Since Solomon declares that his writings have been recorded to help us know wisdom, I suggest that we take him up on it and glean new dimensions of wisdom by sitting at his feet. Read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every day for the rest of your life. And chances are good that you'll not often be tempted to substitute knowledge for wisdom. So read the book of Proverbs regularly. Number two, and this is really a big deal, hear and heed the counsel of those that you respect. When was the last time that you just said, I want to take you out to lunch? You went through some really, really difficult things in your life. You lost a spouse. What was it like? How did you survive that? How did God help you through that? Or you raised children and you did it perfectly. And so I want to come over and learn from you. Or I want to learn from your mistakes. You've been down the road farther than I have. There's an attitude of learning, of being willing to listen to other people who have more wisdom, more insight. Okay? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. If there's anyone in our lives who have been further down the road than we have, it's mom and dad, if we still have them around. So calling them up and saying, I'd like to ask you some questions. I'd like to know your journey. I'd like to know how you handled this problem in your life. I'd like to know how you succeeded in business so well. I'd like to know all kinds of things, you know. So it says that the teaching of your father and your father's instruction and your mother's teaching, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head. If we listen to the instruction of our mother and father, there's no one on planet Earth that loves you more and cares about you more than your father and your mother who raised you. So, and they are ornaments about your neck. Here's some more from Swindoll. Wisdom isn't limited to the sayings of Scripture. It is possible that God has given you a godly set of parents. It's possible. Several trusted mentors and one or two wise friends. They have been through experiences and endured some trials that you have not yet encountered. They have had time to weave all that through the varied fabrics of life, which gives them a discernment and depth that you may lack. The things they can pass along to you are a graceful wreath and ornaments of wisdom available to you. Listen to them. Learn from them. Linger with them. So hear and heed the counsel of those that you respect. Number three, choose your friends wisely. And Solomon did not mince words here. He warns me, he warns you, he warns all of us about the friendships that we have. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Now, this is a pretty innocent story, but it was probably the first time that I was enticed to do something that I knew was wrong. And I was at a swim meet up in Canada, and I'll remember it to this day. And my friend, and I'm not, anyway, we stayed with another family. And then in the morning, we got up and we were kind of walking around the neighborhood because we had a swim meet later on in the day. And but we walked into a little grocery store, kind of like the handy store. And there was lots of gum and candy and everything right down on the temptation level for kids. And my friend just innocently said, let's take some candy and run. And, you know, it's not a huge sin in the whole spectrum of the world, but I took some, and he took some. And I went out of the store, shoplifted, and I threw some gum in my mouth, which I couldn't return. And I remember the feeling inside. I'm a sinner, okay? I might have thought of it, but I was thinking more about my mom and dad and what would happen to me if they knew I'd done that, you know, and it just never entered my mind. But my friend said, let's take some and run. And he enticed me to sin. And it's very interesting that we walked out of the store and walked down to the end of the block trying to get back to the home of the people we were staying with. And here was an old guy on a bicycle. And I'm sure he was a committed believer who knew the Bible. And he stopped and started to witness to us about Christ and about salvation. I don't remember much of what he said. I just remember, here's this representative of God who happened to meet us down at the end of the block. And, you know, and I think that's, God is in our lives that way. So, and I, you know, I'd like to say I returned the gum, but I don't think they would have wanted it back. And it's kind of a innocuous kind of story, you know, but it still was in my memory bank, a big one. So the longer I live, Swindoll says, the more careful I am with my choice of friends. Show me your friends, and I'll show you where you're going to be down the road. Doesn't mean we don't love people who are not Christians. That's not what we're saying. Show me your friends now, and I will tell you, I will be a prophet, and I will say, this is where your life is going to go. You may think it's not, but it will. He says, Swindoll said, the longer I live, the more careful I am with my choice of friends. I have fewer than in my youthful years, but they are deeper friends, treasured relationships. And so he says, as you read Solomon's counsel, do not consent to relationships that drag you down and hurt your walk with God. Those who ambush their own lives will get you involved in counterproductive activities that will keep wisdom at arm's distance, and you don't need that. So choose your friends wisely, Solomon tells us. And the last one is, pay close attention to life's reproofs. Pay close attention to life's reproofs. Proverbs 1:20-23. Wisdom shouts in the street. Wisdom is personified here. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates, in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Turn to my reproof. I didn't ask Dee for permission on this, but it's kind of a humorous little story about Harold and Frank. Is it okay if I tell that? Yeah, so if you guys remember, there was a guy here who did magic tricks and had a ministry with children doing magic tricks and stuff. Remember him? Sheldon Rhodes, yeah. So Sheldon and his wife were traveling up to Alaska where Dee and Harold were living. And so that's a long road up the Alcan Highway. And it's pretty rough on equipment driving up there. And they were pulling a trailer. And by the time they got up to Harold and Dee's, the trailer had broken a spring on one side of the axle. And so the trailer was kind of sagging on one side. And so when they pulled in, Harold saw that right away. And he says, well, pull it in the shop. I'll fix that. So they pulled it in the shop, and then Harold jacked up one side, and he was getting the spring off, and he had to use a grinder. And so the grinder was grinding the heads off of the carriage bolts, and Frank was there watching the whole 4th of July spark show underneath of there. It's pretty exciting for a young boy to see that happen. And then all of a sudden, the head of the carriage bolt fell on the ground. And Frank reached out with his bare hands and grabbed that thing and quickly dropped it. And so the event was reproof to him. It was like, I should not do that again. And we say it all the time in our family, and it's a good thing to remember. Harold said to him, what did he say, Dee? Yeah. Well, Frank, did you learn anything? I'm not going to feel too sorry for you, but did you learn anything? Did you learn anything through grabbing a red-hot carriage bolt head? And so the Solomon reminds us, it says, turn to my reproof. Don't do that again. Don't be foolish. Don't do that. Because you're going to get burned and it will not be well with you. So here's one more quote from Swindoll. He says, if you have been on this journey since the beginning, perhaps you recall that the time we spent analyzing these words. Wisdom is personified as one who shouts in the streets. Wisdom is not quiet. Wisdom is not hiding. This, Solomon said, wisdom is shouting in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. In other words, she is available. Wisdom is available. She's shouting. She's lifting her voice. She's available. She speaks loud and clear. But where, how, she tells us, turn to my reproof. It is there in life's reproofs, not in the fact that we are perfect, not in the fact that we can avoid every scenario, not in the fact that we can be perfect people, but in the reproofs, that's where wisdom is. It is there that she pours out her spirit on us and makes her words known to us. So, Swindoll closes this section and he says, God never wastes our time allowing us to go through the dark and dismal valleys or endure those winding, painful paths without purpose. In each one, there are reproofs with wisdom attached. Many and foolish are those who simply grit their teeth and bear it. Few but wise are those who hear wisdom's voice and listen to her counsel. The wisdom-filled life is the actively spiritual life. For the rest of our years on this old earth, let us do our best to be numbered among this group. Father, I know that I need your wisdom. I just need it. I need it in making decisions. I need it in knowing what to say, knowing what not to say, knowing what to do, knowing not what to do. Every single day, I confess my need of your wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray in my own life that every day I would ask you for that wisdom. I pray that you would give me that wisdom according to the promises of your word, that you give wisdom to those who are humble, to those who ask, to those who expect it, and you will give us wisdom. And your whole goal in all of that is for our blessing. So God, I pray that for this church family, I pray that we would be those who open the Bible and search and seek and listen for the voice of wisdom shouting in the streets, and that we would experience your help in our decisions along the way. And Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to reveal your wisdom to us. Thank you that you are our Father in heaven who warns us. You're our Father in heaven who cares about us. You're our Father in heaven who cares about the future. You care about the consequences of sin in our lives. You are a God who cares about us, and the whole purpose for giving us wisdom is to protect us and to bless us and to feed us and to help us. So God, I thank you for this day, and we just thank you for this morning. In Christ's name, amen.